This is Gamercast episode 334. Randy Pitchford, no! This is a show recorded on the 22nd of April, 2013. Hello, I'm your host, my name's Paul, and joining me this week is Louise Kiflin.
Hello.
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 I thought you would have gone with a more kind of high-pitched, no.
That's no.
So yeah, it's slightly busier week this week. A little bit more news, a little bit more releases.
Oh, what? I thought you said this show was going to be fast.
Yeah, well, it still can be fast. There's nothing stopping that, is there?
Well, get a move on then. Let's do it.
For the news.
Yellow. It sounded like I said yellow. Oh, sorry. Okay, so in my eyes, like, some of the biggest news this week is The Evil Within. So a year ago, Tango Gameworks and Bethesda announced Project Zwei, which was a game being headed by Shinji Mikami, kind of, I suppose you could say, godfather.
Play sport at the same time as
you could, as long as it doesn't make a sound. The father, I'd say father almost, of survival horror games, so Resident Evil games, Resident Evil 4, good stuff. And then he was going to do a survival horror game. Now, just under a year later, they've announced that Project Zwei is called The Evil Within.
The Evil Within.
There was a big kind of preview up. There's a nice video as well that you can watch of Shinji Mikami and some of his team talking about the game and the way they've kind of addressed it. But generally, that's kind of all the info that's about, because IGN have exclusives and stuff like that. Sorry. But yeah, it looks really cool. I love some of the screenshots. Sadly, all they announced with is a teaser. What I'd call a teaser, because it's a live-action trailer.
Teaser!
But it kind of sets the mood. It's okay. It's not too bad for a live-action trailer. But yeah, there's not really been much info announced. They've said it's being developed for 360, PlayStation 3, Windows, and other next-generation consoles next year. So they didn't state whether that means PS4 or not. They've just said next-generation consoles, I guess, you know, just to kind of mix it up a little.
Well, it obviously refers to the PS2.
The PS2.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's at E3. See, don't you think that guy looks cool? He's got a safe on his head. Look at that. The story is going along the lines of there's three detectives following up on some incident that's gone on at some house. The police are already there, but the detectives turn up late. I think you play someone called Sebastian, if I remember reading right earlier.
Sebastian.
And you get knocked out while you're in this house where people have been murdered.
Murder!
No, I can't do that. And you wake up, and it's all slightly different, and you're trying to figure out what's gone on. Sounds great to me. Love a survival horror, so...
Sounds fantastic to me.
I can't wait to see some more on it. Hopefully it'll be at E3, you never know. It might be. I hope it is. I really hope it is.
Yes, we all do.
I hope it is. Me. You don't really mind, you don't really care, do you? No, probably doesn't care.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Evil Within.
What's that?
Survival horror. Anyway, so next up, Persona 4 Arena has been given a limited edition that's exclusive on the Arc System Works website.
Right.
Which is on the Zen United store.
Persona 4 copy turned up, yeah. It has. Cool.
Yes, so if you pre-order it from game stores, you get a copy of the soundtrack on a vinyl. If you buy it anywhere, you get a copy of the soundtrack in the box. If you buy it off the Zen United...
In the box is in compact disc?
Yeah.
Game got stitched up there, didn't they?
Yeah, you get it in game as well.
Here you go, get the vinyl.
Hey, I want that vinyl, it looks cool.
How are you supposed to even play it?
Yeah, but it's cool, it's yellow.
Oh, let's just rip my vinyl and let's just try and jam it into my computer.
Well, no, it's not for playing, really. It's to have. Sean's got the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack on a vinyl.
I'd rather have a soundtrack I could listen to.
Well, you get it on a soundtrack you can listen to as well.
It was a giant thing. Doesn't fit in nothing.
But yeah, so they've announced the limited edition for Europe, which comes on either 360 or PlayStation 3. It comes with the soundtrack, as do all copies, I believe, and a digital fan pack, so I guess like wallpapers and stuff like that on a disc, or maybe on the soundtrack disc. A 300-piece Persona 4 Arena jigsaw puzzle with exclusive artwork. A cotton tote bag, which has the Midnight Channel design on it, so just a nice little tote bag. I believe it's black. And you can just use it to carry stuff around and show your Persona 4 love, or, you know, game it or something, I don't know. Then you also get a Teddy and Midnight Channel keyring, not as cool as the Teddy that I got when I bought my copy of Persona 4 from Japan, because that had an actual Teddy. He's like this big. But it's keyring, so it's alright. And you get a Chi badge set as well, so I think it's a set of three badges that she has on the jacket. Limited quantities, only available through the Zen United store, and it's $49.99. So fairly close to the standard price of the game. The only thing that I'd be wary of is that there's a jigsaw puzzle in it, and generally jigsaw puzzles are fairly cheap quality when they're promotional items. Don't you hate cheap jigsaw puzzles when the ends turn up?
I absolutely detest cheap jigsaw puzzles.
There you go. Paul's showing his detest there. Next up, Nintendo have done a lot of announcements over the past week. They had a Nintendo Direct presentation the middle of last week, and they've announced a few other things today. So to start off, they've announced that Game will be the first retailer in Europe to sell Nintendo eShop codes online and in-store, meaning that you can buy codes for the games digitally, so like you can with most other things these days, but you'll be able to do it for Nintendo things. Although, of course, you know, it's a bit weird buying a digital thing for a Nintendo console because it's not tied to an account, so one day you may lose it. That's how I see it. Don't you agree?
Yeah, what the hell, man, Nintendo? So, you mad dafties.
So, like, another thing I've got in the news is they announced the Animal Crossing New Leaf console. 3DS XL is coming out over here. Similar to the Fire Emblem one. It's probably going to retail about £190. And it comes with a copy of the game preloaded on an SD card. Don't you think that's a bit off? Or is it just me that would want to buy an actual copy of the game with my console? Or have an actual copy of the game with my console? Not a digital version.
Yeah.
Because don't they have like, well, you can only transfer data so many times on Nintendo consoles, between consoles.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, you could easily lose it. I mean, I suppose they do tie your purchases on your 3DS, but then I'm not sure what happens to that. Well, because you can't just buy another 3DS and, well, you can transfer over. I don't know, I'm just kind of against it. I'd be fine with Nintendo doing a lot of digital stuff if they had linked accounts and an account that you can easily access, like from the internet and stuff. You don't agree?
Yeah.
Okay. As well as Game doing that, they're doing a promotion. Has that started now? Where they offer a 25% extra trade-in value on selected game trade-ins against Nintendo eShop purchases in-store.
They've done that for ages.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes, so on with the Nintendo Direct announcements that they had. So, start off, they announced a new Legend of Zelda game, exclusive for the 3DS, so it's nice that they're actually making 3DS games now, because they obviously are starting to support the platform a bit more on their first-party side. It's in a way, a sequel to A Link to the Past, so the SNES game people may have played in their past. Or you could have... Was that ever... No, I don't think that was. Yeah, so they did that. It's got like a new... Well, firstly, it's... Of course, because it's a 3DS game, they've made it adaptive for the 3D of the 3DS. So the environments are like 2D flat, but they are 3D. Everything within the environment is 3D. So the trees, the grass, the enemies, Link, everything like that. They're actually 3D. Apparently it looks good. You can download the trailer on your 3DS and watch it and see what it'd play like. Apparently it looks quite nice. But as well as that, you can then, if you go close to a wall, I'm not sure at what point it unlocks in the game or how you can do it, if there's any kind of limitation on it, you can turn Link into a 2D Link, which is like an image, and he projects himself onto the wall, and then you just move around the wall. And you can find secret things and hidden stuff, and like the perspective completely changes, because instead of like top-down perspective, it changes to side-on almost. Not fully side-on though, because then you can see a 3D environment when you're moving around. But he can like make his way through little paths that are hidden off that you couldn't get if you were just standard Link. So it's a nice idea. There's a game on the PS Minis called Sideways New York or something like that, which is fairly similar in style, projecting yourself onto a flat background. But it'd be interesting to see what they do with it. It's very different for a Zelda game. And a 3DS only game, so I think that's really cool. That's probably one of the best announcements they made. They announced a new Yoshi's Island game. I would have preferred a new Yoshi's Story game, but a lot of people seem to like Yoshi's Island. It'll be the third game in the franchise coming out. So it's Yoshi with Baby Mario. So they announced that for the 3DS. They also announced Mario and Luigi Dream Team Bros. Will be coming out on the eShop on the 12th of July. Where takes place on a mysterious island and challenges Mario to go between the real world and Luigi's dreams to rescue Princess Peach. So it sounds like it's a fairly smallish game. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D was given a release date of the 24th of May, which is the 3DS version of the Wii title, which apparently they've added an easier difficulty mode for those playing on the go. Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move was announced for the Nintendo eShop, only coming out that, and it's coming out on 9th of May. As I said, they announced the Animal Crossing New Leaf hardware bundle with a nice 3DS. It's a lovely minimalistic 3DS, which is white with tiny little symbols on it, or tiny little images. But the game's also coming out on the 14th of June, which they announced. They also announced Mario Golf World Tour, because everyone, of course, wants a new Mario Golf game. And that is a 3DS title only and is scheduled to launch in the summer. Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy, which is the final game, presumably, in the second trilogy of Professor Layton. They've said it's coming out later on this year. It looked quite nice from what they showed. Bravely Default was announced, which is... It looked like a Square game, like a Square Enix game, but I don't really know. I believe like stuff on that got announced ages ago for Japan things, but it's actually coming out in Europe later on this year. What else? Oh, Shin Megami Tensei 4. So Nintendo are actually publishing, from the sounds of it, as they announced it on the Direct presentation, a Shin Megami Tensei game for the 3DS. Coming out in Europe and has full 3D dungeons, voice dialogue, and street pass functionality. They also announced a Mario Party. Was that for Wii U then? They announced way too many stuff with this thing. Three more level 5 games are coming out, which include the Starship Damry, Bugs vs. Tanks, and what I thought sounded coolest, Attack of the Friday Monsters. A Tokyo Tale. So it was the fact that there's a little boy who, on Fridays, giant monsters from the TV shows come to life. Which does sound kind of cool. And as well as that, for the Wii U, they announced that Earthbound is coming out on the Virtual Console. They said some more about New Super Luigi U system update, and that Pikmin 3, they announced a new Pikmin type, which is Flying Pikmin. Apparently there's one of them on the box art. Look kind of interesting there. Of course, they're to help take out air enemies, and they can also carry stuff while in the air as well, which is quite nice. Looked alright. I think that's all of those. And then as well as that, today they announced a new promotion called I've not got the thing there now. What's the name of the promotion? So many games, there you go. So what they're doing, what Nintendo are doing, is from the 23rd of April, which is tomorrow, until the 30th of June, if you register any of the three following games, you get one for free, if that makes sense. So there's 8 games that you can buy, and you'll get one of them for free, which you can then choose if you should register three of the games on the Club Nintendo website. Includes Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, Luigi's Mansion 2, Fire Emblem Awakening, Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins, which isn't out until this Friday, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Gates to Infinity, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Animal Crossing New Leaf. So, of course, some of those games aren't even out yet. But if you buy them and register in them, you get one of those games for free. So it's nice of them to do another promotion again, like they did with if you register your 3DS XL, you can get a free game title from their list. And then finally, Nintendo also announced today that they're doing a pink Nintendo 3DS XL console, which will be available from the 31st of May. Oh my god, I get to breathe now. Next up, which I actually think is really, really cool. I watched the trailer for it and quite enjoyed it. And that is Rescue 2013. Charlotte posted a trailer of it on our website. And what it pretty much is... is, so think Theme Hospital, but instead Theme Hospital, we'll call it Theme Fire Station. So you kind of look after and man a fire station, you can decorate it, you know, watch people do stuff, have them do things, hire new people. Yep. Clean your fire engine.
Can you decorate it to make the fire station look like the Ghostbusters, like,
I doubt they'd have a license for that. But you choose how to do your thing. I don't know if you actually get to build the buildings, though, because you couldn't do that in theme hospital, could you? You just got stand buildings. And I think that's what this is as well. But yeah, you look after your fire engines, you buy new ones, you wash them from the looks of it, and then you manage calls that you get from the emergency services, and you go tackle fires. So you put out fires in buildings... in forests, I think there was a forest fire, there was a road accident that you had to help out at, and a few other things, and I thought it actually looked quite cool, because I absolutely love Theme Hospital. I played that to death when I was younger, and I thought this looks quite interesting. It's coming out in June this year for Windows, and I imagine there'll be more shown soon, but I thought it was quite nice. I was like, oh yeah, I'd buy that game, or I'd play that game, it looks good. That was actually an Excalibur publishing game as well. Well, they're publishing it. Jagged Alliance Flashback has been announced. So from the previous talking about Jagged Alliance last week and of Full Control taking over the Jagged Alliance license, they've announced that they're going to do a Kickstarter to help finance the project. It's not a reboot, but a completely resetting of the franchise, apparently. To a fully tactical turn-based action game. And yeah, the Kickstarter hasn't started yet, but it will be this week potentially, or next week, so keep an eye on our website if you are a Jagged Alliance fan and played any of the older games, like back in the 90s or middle to late 90s. Call of Juarez Gunslinger had some stuff announced today. So it's, from the sounds of it, just a downloadable game. So like what Blood Forge, is that what it's called? The Far Cry
Blood Forge.
The Far Cry 3 expansion, the weird 80s videotape thing. I can't think what it's called. Because of course that's apparently a standalone expansion. This sounds like this is as well. So Call of Juarez Gunslinger is available on May 22nd for $11.99 on PlayStation Network, and on Windows and Xbox Live, 1,200 Microsoft points, which is not much at all, to be fair, for what looked like a really good Call of Juarez game. I remember watching the trailer when they put the trailer out. What are you doing?
It's alright.
And I thought it looked really good, so I'd actually kind of be tempted by this. Also, if you pre-order the PC version, I guess through Uplay or whatever, you actually get a copy of Bound in Blood for free, which was the second Call of Juarez game. Yeah, I think that's quite nice. For 1,200 Microsoft points, that's nice for, you know, just a full kind of release game almost.
Yes, sounds fantastic.
Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded got announced today. So they're making a new Leisure Suit Larry game. It's coming out on Windows, Macintosh and Linux for £15. I haven't got a date here. Oh, June. Yeah, Leisure Suit Larry. For anyone who grew up playing the games... which are, of course, like a weird adventure game. but also a little bit rude. Euro Truck Simulator 2 news. So this isn't really Euro Truck Simulator 2 related, but it's kind of what the competition's for. So we're not running it. But Excalibur Publishing are running kind of an interesting competition. So they're doing like a range...
Oh, is this the thing where I can drive an HGV and get an HGV license or something?
Simulation to reality promotions, allowing entrants to take the chance of taking their simulation gaming into reality. The first contest they're doing is the link to Euro Truck Simulator 2. And allows entrants to win the chance to get a HGV driving course to full qualifications.
An HGV.
To full qualifications.
You pronounce it H, not H. Therefore it's an.
Oh. That would usually cost about $4,000 to do.
Yeah, I'm totally going to enter that.
All you need to do is visit I want to be... Is that like...
I want to be an HGVdriver.com, I think it is.
Is that what it is? Because I've just got, it just says I want to be, because it's obviously a link in my thing.
Let's just confirm that.
Oh, have you already been on it, or...?
No.
Okay. I think that's really cool. .com.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to be an HGVdriver.com. And you answer the questions of it. How many questions are there?
No.
One, two...
Lots.
What's the bottom one say? Episode... Up.
Oh, up.
Sorry. No. 10 questions. So there's 10 questions and then you've got to fill in some information. Do you have to give a reason to why you'd be good for it? Scroll. Go down a little bit.
No
genres, what simulation? Yeah, so then you just have to fill in your information and answer 10 questions. There's also little videos for each thing. So you have to watch these videos, which how long is that first one? Does it say if you hover over it? Like a minute each, maybe? About that? About a minute each.
1 minute.
Watch those and enter your 10 answers. You have to be over 18, because of course you're learning to drive a HGV, which is a flipping massive thing, and live in the EU to qualify, but you've got until the 31st of August to enter. So, yeah. I think that's a cool competition. I could learn to drive a HGV. Mm. Obviously, would you need a standard driver's license? What is that about cyclists?
Episode 4, tips on overtaking safely in an HGV. What did Matt say that you should imagine when considering overtaking cyclists? It's every man for himself on the road.
Imagine... So, I'm not sure what that second one really means. Is that as in...
the cyclist is in a bubble.
Is that as in you can hit them and they'll just bounce away?
Well, they bounce away, yeah, but with broken bones and squashed organs.
And then, lastly, in the show this week for the news...
So, this is basically the same kind of... the questions on it are basically your bog standard, like, theory test questions.
Yeah, to see if you actually have a brain on you, I guess. To figure out...
Like... how to come to a halt safely in an HGV. Move into fifth gear. Put foot on the brake pedal. Check mirrors. So it's exactly like a theory test. Three dumb answers. And then, you know, oh man, right. What should you do if the speed limit is 30 miles per hour? Assess to see if you can reach the limit. Aim to reach a speed limit as soon as possible. Slow down only when you reach a speed camera. So yeah, exactly like a theory test.
Except I imagine like all that kind of stuff would be quite expensive to take. But no, I think that's a nice, weird prize. I wonder what else they'll do. Because if they're doing a series of them...
No, that's kind of cool. I might do it.
You should enter. And then finally for news this week, some news that only went out like...
Then I can have category E or D or whatever the hell category of bloody thingamajig is.
Only went out a couple of hours ago. And that is who purchased the Homeworld IP and rights. I believe that's what it was, the purchase. It could be like... There's probably small print and stuff like that.
I don't actually know. Someone's nicked my driving license.
You probably put it somewhere safe, haven't you?
Yeah, my wallet. Yeah, and it's not there.
So the purchasers or purchasee bidder that won Homeworld is someone you might not think. You may guess from the title though, and it's Gearbox. Gearbox Software. The
people hey, Randy.
Who haven't really made an RTS before.
The people who haven't made a real-time strategy game are now making a real-time strategy.
So, apparently the reason for their purchase is Brian Martell, who is their chief creative officer, absolutely loves Relic and Homeworld pieces. He loved the two original games, and he wants to help re-release digitally Homeworld 1 and 2 on platforms. So I imagine, well, they say digital platforms, I imagine just on PC. And then also think about creating a new game. They might do all right.
Yeah, they might. Would like to clarify one tiny little point.
Yeah.
The title was Catherine's idea. Because I don't really have an issue with Gearbox doing this. If they can do a decent job of it, carry on.
Yeah.
Well, if you screw it up.
Well, that's the thing. You're going to get annoyed if they screw it up, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to get... Look, let's face it. I'm going to get annoyed no matter what. Because yeah, every game nowadays is dumbed down, there's no manual, and it's for noobs.
Surely they for
Therefore,
you...
Therefore, we're going to have a stupid Kinect game for the 360. Homeworld 3 for Kinect.
Surely no matter what in your eyes, you're just not going to be happy with it, are you?
Put me in charge of it.
But yeah, like we were saying earlier, how if they release it digitally, Paul's like, yeah, I'll buy it for a fiver. It's not going to be a fiver.
Don't put me in charge of it. This is all you need to do. Copy Homeworld 2 and give random start locations on a humongous map, which is, say, 32 or 64 times the area of the Homeworld 2 multiplayer maps. If you did that, it would make it a much better game. But obviously you need decent censorships as well to, like, you know, scouts and stuff. But that way, it wouldn't just become a race of who builds the biggest fleet and then warps it straight to the enemy flipping mothership.
Thing is, I think...
Because that was the trouble with Homeworld. There was no exploration or, like, you don't control bits of the map bar the little mining bits that you're mining temporarily for, like, 5 minutes. And yeah, it's just a race to nuke the other opponent's mothership when it should be about controlling space and stuff like that.
I think if they can, like, keep this Brian guy in the loop with it and not be, well, do like a Duke Nukem Forever style on it. But the thing is, like, they've only just acquired this IP, so...
We have 5 years we've seen it anyway.
Well, not essentially, but it means that, you know, they haven't had this for ages. It's not been stewing around. So hopefully they could potentially do a good job of it.
If they feel like investing the money in it.
Yeah.
They might be like...
Yeah, I mean, they got it cheap. Mm. I'm sure it must have cost them a fair bit of money. So obviously, you know, Mr. Brian Martell really would like to make a game in the franchise. Or they, I guess, decided that through sales of Homeworld 1 and 2 being re-released, they'll get a fair amount of money from it.
Yeah.
But they're opening up questions on their forums where you can give your suggestions on what they could do potentially with the franchise. Who knows, maybe Homeworld will turn into the next big thing. They'll make an RTS, they'll make a shooter, they'll make all this stuff within the Homeworld universe.
Gearbox and shooters?
That's what they could do, that, couldn't they? As Oxlow is mentioning about consoles, what if they release Homeworld for consoles?
I just did just sort of jokingly talk about that.
Oh, okay.
As in Homeworld for Kinect.
Yeah, that's true.
Which would be the ultimate dumbing down of it.
Well, apparently Ruse was okay on Move. Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
But Ruse was a dumbed-down game anyway.
You enjoyed playing it for a bit, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but there's nothing to it.
Okay.
It's like a game I play on my phone. When I've got one of these... Yeah.
Let's a mouse.
I'm here all day to play the game. I don't care if it takes 12 hours to finish a multiplayer game. That's what I want from a space game.
Well, that's the thing with... Well, if we're talking about Ruse here as well, just mentioning that... they made it for consoles as well, though, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
But yeah.
Which is why the PC version probably was so noobed up. But as long as it happens to Ruse, I don't care. Just don't mess with Homeworld.
But yeah, because of course, very recently it was stated how the people running a Kickstarter for a new Homeworld game had to give all their money back to all the backers because, of course, the IP... They didn't earn it? Well, because they didn't win it. Because they bid for it, but they didn't win it. I believe they bid for it. But yeah, who knows?
Well, I'd rather Gearbox have it than a bunch of kids on Kickstarter who think Kickstarter's trendy.
I mean, the thing is, they've got an alright background in making games, so they could do an alright job. They just need to get the right people on it. You need to get RTS people working on it, like people with history in RTS games, as opposed to people with history in shooters.
Yeah, especially shooters like Duke Nukem and ACM. Fire all those people.
But you never know. I imagine they'll start hiring soon.
You're allowed to have one person who worked on Blue Shift and one person who worked on Opposing Force as like QA roles. But other than that, it needs to be me and my team of people, which is basically just me.
Why don't you write that on their forums? Just hire me.
Yeah. I only need a couple of artists, a couple of people who know how to work tools.
Tools.
And yeah.
Tools! Make those tools!
Sorted.
Just do that.
Sorted.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, I know how to make a good game. I know how, like, everyone's like, oh, we need to make it appeal to mainstream people. And then nobody mainstream buys it because they see it as some geeky space game. And they alienate all their core audience, which are hardcore people who don't care if it takes 9 hours to do a game. Because when I, you know, when I'm in this chair, I'm ready to roll all day. In it, Catherine? In it? Yeah.
Yeah, bruv.
Yeah, bruv.
It's time for...
Name...
That...
Game.
Yaldi, so last week, everyone would have heard this. We had a couple of guesses, like Super Mario Bros. 2. And whatever Catherine said.
I guessed Joe Danger.
Yeah, they were all wrong.
Yeah, I can see that now.
So yeah, Catherine said Joe Danger, that's the wrong answer. So no one got it right. This week I've decided to go
you
for
something. You haven't said what it was.
So easy, it's the blob, isn't it?
So what, the first one on the Wii?
Yeah, the first one.
I played that.
Yeah, the one I used on Gamercast like 50 episodes ago. This week I've gone for something.
You keep reusing things.
Well, it's easier than finding something new.
So lazy. I'm sorry.
So this week, I've decided to like go super easy. So everyone who listens to this podcast should know exactly what this is. So I'm not sure if I should even give you a guess.
Give me a guess?
Yeah, I think we should just let the audience guess.
What?
Because you're just going to say what it is. Oh, that's how easy it is.
Really?
Yeah. Let's play it.
Is it?
Oh, so you actually don't know what it is. Okay, that's good then. But yeah, I thought you
lock
would...
and load.
No, that's not what it is.
No, I'm just saying that's what you said, right?
You actually don't know what that is? Oh, man. We got guesses coming in from the chat room.
Do I get any clues?
There are no clues for this. It's
why not?
That easy.
Prince of Tears.
Are you cheating? Don't cheat. Let's just say this has been one of the most popular multiplayer games of all time. I know it's not Call of Duty.
What, like Battlefield or something? Wait, wait. Is it like, I don't know. It's not that, is it? It doesn't sound beefy enough to be something like Quake 3. Is it? Lock and load. A Battlefield game? Look at your face. You're not helping me out at all.
Well, I'm trying not to help
lock
you out.
Lock and load. Unreal Tournament? UT3? Ah, multiplayer wasn't too popular. I can't like 20... I can't even think what year.
Battlefield 2142?
No, I'm thinking of Unreal Tournament right now. I quite enjoyed 2004, was it?
People want clues. Alright, multi-platform, it's on loads of things. It's a shooter.
Yeah, you've already kind of mentioned that stuff.
Yeah, and it's clues.
Ah, it's like nothing!
It's definitely on PC. Definitely on Xbox.
Xbox.
Both, I think.
Oh.
I don't know if it's on PlayStation.
Is that the franchise?
It probably is on PlayStation as well. Some loads of things. And if it's not on PlayStation, games with the same engine as one of the versions of it is on PlayStation. Stop cheating.
Are you putting down all of his guesses?
Yeah, I have to record people's guesses in case they get it right. Because if I didn't write down one of the guesses, then you'd know that's not the right answer.
Oh, I see.
Or that is whatever way around it is. Anyway, let's wrap this up because you're obviously not guessing anything. Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, it's not Smash TV 2, shut up.
Smash TV 2? Oh, yeah, you said Smash TV as well. I like Smash TV.
Email your guess in to feedback@gamercast.net or leave a comment on the website gamercast.net/episode-334-randy-pitchford-no.
How many O's are you going to put in that?
A few. Yeah, if you're right, you'll then get the GZ next week. I can't believe nobody in the chat room knows what that is. I'm shocked. Is this really the state of the gaming industry now? That people don't know what that is?
What, should I guess, like, Quake 3 Team Arena?
Everyone should have played that for thousands of hours, that game.
Quake 3 Team Arena?
Not that I did, because I didn't really like it.
You didn't like it? You liked Quake 3, didn't you?
Did I really?
Did you?
Let's move along, because Catherine's jib-jabbering.
New releases this week.
So we've got a few releases this week, more so than last week.
Oh, fuff. Sake.
It's okay, Paul. It's not going to take that long. So to start off, we've got Star Trek. It's just called Star Trek. There's no other name to it. It's just Star Trek. This is coming out almost alongside the new film coming out. I don't believe it's got anything to do with the film, however. If you pre-order it from Game, you get a free code to get a cinema ticket to go see Star Trek at the cinema, or Star Trek Edge of Darkness, or whatever it's called.
Wait, if you pre-order it, do you have to buy it as well?
I thought it was for pre-ordering.
Well, then, wouldn't it be cheaper to pre-order it and nick our cinema ticket?
It's only for, Cineworld and stuff, though.
I ain't going to Crawley.
So, yeah, it's an all new kind of IP-based game. Star Trek Universe, however, of course, I believe it had to do with new and old Star Trek. So, it's got Kirk and Spock in it.
Yeah, but then the new Star Trek is Kirk and Spock.
Well, yeah, I thought it had something.
Retarded Kirk and Spock.
Well, I remember reading something ages ago about original thems, as opposed to new thems. With I can't even remember what anyone's name is for either. He's just guessing games still, isn't he?
It's not a GameCube game.
So yeah, you got Star Trek that's coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. Then you got Dead Island Riptide, which is a new Dead Island game. Palanai.
Is this the same characters from the first game?
Well, it's
because I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, this is just the same people again. Why are they so dumb to go to an island and have another zombie outbreak?"
Well, it says here, "Get ready to return to zombie-infected tropical shores." They thought they had survived a zombie outbreak on Banoi. They then thought they could get back to civilization after reaching the safety of a military ship. Suddenly, fate strikes. A storm hits and the horror and chaos comes flooding back into their lives. They just can't get away from these zombies.
Maybe it's them. Maybe they are the zombies.
Maybe they're the infected and they, breathe from everyone. So yeah, new Dead Island game, Riptide, on 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. I'm sure once again, drop-in, drop-out, co-op multiplayer, single-player campaign, and I'd guess customization of weapons and stuff like that. Then we've got LEGO City Undercover, The Chase Begins. This is the 3DS LEGO City Undercover game. Mm. It's a prequel to LEGO City Undercover on the Wii U. You get over 50 types of vehicle and over 70 minifigures. And yes, 3DS game, it uses Street Pass, stuff like that.
Street Pass.
Then we've also got
the sole reason people carry their 3DS around.
To be fair, I don't carry around that much. And then we've got Dragon's Dogma: Dark Arisen. This is the kind of expansion but not expansion that they've made. It's like a new chapter in Dragon's Dogma. Owners of the original can import their characters and save data to continue the journey on, or you can just play it new.
Continue the journey.
It's got all the content from the original Dragon's Dogma, plus a new underground realm that has over 25 new enemies, more skills, equipment, and augments. Level 3 skills, over 100 pieces of equipment, 14 new character augments, and lots of other stuff. And you can select Japanese voiceover if you don't want the English voiceover. Then there's also Deadly Premonition, the director's cut, coming out. This is the revamped version for the PlayStation 3. Deadly Premonition came out on the Xbox 360 2 years ago now, I believe. Might be even longer
Snake
than that.
Snake, but a Nokia 3310.
And I used to have that on.
I didn't, because I didn't have a Nokia phone.
Okay, I did. Yeah, so Deadly Premonition came out only on the 360 previously. They're releasing it on the PS3. It has move support, I think. Actually, no, it doesn't have move support, does it? I think it supports 3D, though. And it's been rezzed up slightly, so they've improved the textures in the game. Because it is a kind of... It looks not that great, but is an enjoyable game. So I really need to get back on it on 360 as well, because Charlotte keeps telling me I need to play it and experience it, or experience the end of it. It's a weird game. So it's, if you imagine Twin Peaks, if you've ever seen that in a video game format, it's just weird. It is close to David Lynch weird. It's Swery, that's what he calls himself, Swery in capital letters. And yeah, it, like, I remember watching Charlotte play it, and some woman was talking to you, and the music was louder than her voice, so you could hardly hear what she was saying. It's quite strange. He talks to himself. Zach?
Mm-hmm.
I think Zach's the person in his head, if I remember right. So yeah, that's coming out on PS3 for all those who did not get to play it on Xbox 360. You can finally play it on PS3. And then Injustice Gods Among Us is coming out on the Wii U. It's already out on everything else. It's coming out on the Wii U this week. Wii U! You're not going to do it? You look like you want to. No? Okay. And that's it for this week in releases. Nothing else coming out.
What a fantastic week. Packed with fun stuff like Don't Screw Up Homeworld 3. That's not a joke.
You mean business.
Don't mess up the game I've been on about for the last few episodes. Don't mess with it, yeah?
Have you been on about it over the past few episodes?
Yeah. I press stop and that's it. I just delete everything from my memory. I don't have a clue what's going on. That's why I have to take all the notes and everything. Because otherwise I get to next week and be like, I don't have a clue what we're on about. Yeah, it's not Solitaire, stupid Jarim. Bellens. Yeah, we'll catch everyone next week.
Yep.
For a show which is on the 29th of April.
Wow.
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 And my name's Oxlow and I can't spell bye. but yeah, we'll catch everyone later.
Yes, see you next week.